This is our number
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, I'm excited by what I just heard in the newscast. I'm not going to go see Andrea Bocelli. I don't know that I'd want to sit through an entire 2 hours. But I'm telling you something right now. The 4 minutes when he sings that song, I believe it's with Sarah Brightman, at the Bellagio Fountains. A hot summer night.
Dory, that's actually a show I would go see. Not kidding.
Would you see Bocelli?
I would absolutely go see Bocelli. Didn't somebody say about him, like, if the voice of God had if God had a voice, it would sound like Bocelli. Somebody said that about him, right?
A good friend of mine, his daughter, got a chance to sing with Bocelli a few years ago. Yeah, when the daughter was just 13 years old. But I'm telling you, Aaron, if you have a chance between seeing Bocelli at Climate Pledge Arena and going to see him at the Bellagio Fountains. Mm. It's no comparison.
No comparison. I'll give you that.
Plus, at the Bellagio Fountains, you'll get a little Billie Jean from Michael Jackson. You'll get a beef What's for Dinner from Aaron Copland. I mean, you'll get the gamut of music and entertainment there.
I'll give you that.
You want to hear a quick story? So here's the great thing about having you on the show, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Nicole gets so sick and tired of hearing my stories over and over again. And now that you're new to the radio show, I have an excuse to tell my stories to somebody. So this was many years ago. I had an 8th grade girls basketball team, and we played a tournament in Vegas. So we played our games. We walked around the strip. And then we're standing watching the Bellagio Fountain at midnight before the parents and coaches were going to head back to the team hotel. And one of my players, who was maybe the best kid on the team, she goes, Dory, and I kind of had my back to her. She goes, Dory, can I jump in the fountain? Well, my daughters would say stuff like that to me all the time. And they would never do that, of course. And so I answered the way I always answered my daughters. Yeah, sure, go ahead. I kind of looked over my shoulder. Yeah, sure, go ahead. And then all of a sudden, one of the girls goes, Dory, she's going to do it. She's on the railing. And all of a sudden, I see a big splash. And one of these bat, and her parents weren't on the trip. I was responsible for this kid's life. And she jumped in the Bellagio Fountains on a 95-degree summer night at midnight.
Wow, good for her. That's great.
I know. That's what everybody else said.
Yeah.
I was a little mortified because I thought snipers were going to take me out as the supervisor of the group. But
yeah.
So that's my little Bellagio Fountain story that is a result of your Andrea Bocelli story.
Very good. I'm glad we could take it there.
So am I. All right. Let's get into the fastest 15 here. Now, what's going on with my voice today? I'm a little raspy. I think that's remnants of my Monday illness, Nicole. And now, here's the weird thing. Nicole and I haven't seen each other in, when was the last time? It's been months, hasn't it? In person?
Yeah, it's been a while. I can't remember the last time. Mm-hmm.
And we still are transmitting illness just like we did when we worked in the studio together.
Go figure.
I had a rare day off Monday from sickness, and I tried to convince you to take today off, and you refused to do it. But
I mean, we're working from home, but no more sick days.
I know. That is the even I, but I couldn't answer the bell, even from home on Monday. Okay, hey, Sean, we're going to have a cancel culture update in story number 3 here in the Fastest 15, okay?
I absolutely cannot wait.
Okay, got it. It's story number 4, actually. Hey, I just wanted to mention this horrible story but a bunch of people have said, I know this guy, they say he played for the Seahawks. I don't remember him. And you wouldn't. His name is Philip Adams. He went on a shooting spree yesterday, killed a doctor who'd been treating him, the doctor's wife, and then that family's, the doctor and wife's, 2 grandchildren little kids. And then there was a guy doing some groundwork at the doctor's home, you know, gardening or something. And he shot and killed that guy, too. So he murdered five people. But I will tell you, this guy, if he played for the Seahawks, it was maybe one game on special teams in 2011. And then the Seahawks signed him in the preseason of 14, but they cut him still in the preseason of 2014. So you wouldn't remember him. I didn't remember him. But it is such another sad story because I am sure, and I don't know if the family's going to let him do an autopsy and to examine his brain, but these stories of CTE and, you know, to murder five people, you're crazed at some level. You know, to just kill two innocent little kids, or something like 5 and 7 years old. And you were saying how evil that is, Nicole. But, man, I tell you, I've seen enough evidence of CTE and what all these concussions can do to the brain. And you think about people like Junior Seau, who, you know, just seemed to have the world by the tail, a Hall of Famer. He's going to enjoy a great retirement. He was so beloved in the community. And then he took his life. And he did it. He shot himself in the chest. Seau did. A very rare way of taking one's life by gun. But he presumably did it because he wanted to make sure that they could study his brain. Because he knew that he was just been tortured by these concussions and by the CTE. So, just an incredibly sad story. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, how about United Airlines and their bizarre new diversity program? This was announced yesterday. I have some frequent flyer friends who said, well, that's it. I'm done flying United Airlines. If they're going to put being woke above the safety of passengers. But that is exactly what United Airlines is doing now with this announcement. They said that they want their cockpit to more closely resemble the diversity of their passengers. And so they are now going to hire people based on things like your religion, your skin color, your race. It is one of the strangest things I've ever heard. And again, I heard a great analysis of this, that the reason airlines don't tout their safety record in commercials is because we just presume that they're all safe. And now United Airlines has planted that seed of doubt in saying that we're not going to just hire the best pilots, but we're going to hire the best pilots. And do you have that clip from a couple of years ago, Nicole, that I sent you?
Yes, I do.
And
it's in there.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you. So United is now saying we're going to hire pilots not based on their competency, not based on their ability to take off and land safely, but on their gender and their race. And if you think that is being exaggerated, 2 years ago, a civil rights director for our Department of Justice went on with Tucker Carlson, and she specifically said that how you look should be, even with airline pilots, how you look should be evaluated just as much as how safe a pilot you are. This is from 2018.
Do you think that airlines should apply the same diversity rules you're calling for here? That they shouldn't take the people who score the highest on the pilot tests, but that they should hire also on appearance, the way people look?
Every workplace, whether you're talking about
pilots,
airlines,
heart surgeons,
or federal agencies, should hire the best, but should place a premium on diversity. And
but which is more important, the way that you look or what you do, what you're capable of doing? So like when you're flying a plane, how important is it what you look like, your appearance?
Incredibly important. And it's also
appearance
important that we have
important.
It's also important that we place a premium on diversity.
Is that important to you as an airline passenger? Are looks of the pilot incredibly important? Is diversity in the cockpit incredibly important? Because the only thing that I care about as a airline passenger is, will they get me safely to my destination? Now, here's what United Airlines said. The reason they're doing this is this.
Only 7% of United Airlines pilots are women, one of the highest percentages in the industry. And 13% of its pilots are people of color.
They simply don't have the access or the opportunity.
In an exclusive interview with CBS News, United CEO Scott Kirby is announcing a new effort to bring balance to the flight deck.
We're excited at United to be announcing the United Aviate Academy to address the structural issues with the makeup of our pilots.
Okay, what United is saying is that women and people of color simply do not have access to the pathway to becoming a pilot. And I will tell you that is absolutely not true. One of the surest pathways to becoming a pilot, a commercial airline pilot, is if you are U.S. military and if you fly an airplane for the Navy or the Air Force. And then you go from your military experience and then you transition into civilian life as a commercial airline pilot. Now, joining the military is a pathway that is open to all, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your faith, regardless of your gender. You can join the U.S. military. And they're saying, no, there's not a pathway. Yes, there is a pathway. And as airline passengers, we're not stupid. And then I did something at 2:30 this morning, just for the fun of it. I pulled up the United Airlines Board of Directors. There are 14 people on the United Airlines Board of Directors, and they have the name and the picture of everybody who's on the board. So I clicked on every bio. 9 of the 14 United board members are white men. 1 of the 14 is a white woman. So on the United board, they don't seem to be that interested or care that much about diversity. 10 of the 14 on the board are white people. It looks like there's one Hispanic man, 2 black women. And then there's a fourth person I don't recall in the minority group. So why wouldn't you do diversity on your board of directors? Well, because that's where the real money and power is. We don't want to really give up money and power. We just want to act woke. You know, Delta Airlines supported pulling the All-Star game out of Atlanta. We want to prove that we at United are as woke as Delta this week. We need attention, too. I'd be curious. Go ahead and text me. Do you feel more comfortable flying United now that they've said 50% of their pilots are going to be chosen on the basis of diversity? What analysis I read is, you know, like I said, airlines don't tout their safety record because we just all believe they're going to be safe. Now with United, everyone's going, maybe except for United. Because safety is not their top priority anymore. It would be like a burger chain. You don't hear McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box, Wendy's. You don't hear them saying, hey, our burgers are salmonella free. Our burgers don't have any E. coli. As consumers, we just assume and trust that that is so. But if one of those chains said, we're E. coli free. And I know Jack in the Box had to do that about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. But today, if somebody said we're E. coli free, I'd think, ew, I bet they have an E. coli problem. Why plant the seed of doubt in your product? This is one of the stupidest PR nightmares I've heard from corporate America in a long, long time. United's woke culture just took a nosedive. Okay, up next in the Fastest 15. Let's see, I want to make sure I get this in here. So, Sean, how about if we do a cancel culture update right here?
This is your cancel culture update.
Again, this was brought to our attention by careful show listener Matt Gilbert. Apparently, and now I've never had Chinese food because I don't care for Chinese food. My palate does not go in that direction. And I'm a very picky eater. I just am. So even if I would like some of the food, I won't even try it. But do you get takeout often, Nicole or Sean? Do you get those little? Because I've seen those little white paper takeout boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get those very often anymore. But yes, I definitely get takeout.
Well, apparently there is now a complaint because those boxes often have little funny sayings on them. They have font, and I don't know how to describe the font. It almost looks like the letters are made of sword shapes put together. But CNN is asking the question, can a font be racist? And they said that for years, we've relied on so-called chop suey fonts to communicate Asian-ness in food packaging, posters, and ad campaigns. But such fonts produce problematic stereotypes. And so CNN is telling us that there now is a groundswell to get rid of Chinese food packaging that has the font that is racist. I did not know that ink could be racist. But here's the headline of the CNN story. I'm not making this up. Karate wonton chow fun. The end of chop suey fonts. And so, because there are some people who have found food boxes to be racist, Chinese food delivery boxes, you have been
canceled.
This has been a Cancel Culture Update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
And that is your Fastest 15 for today.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, I'm looking forward to talking to this man. Scott Walker was the two-term governor of Wisconsin. He was able to reform the schools and the teachers' unions in Wisconsin, which, as you know, I think that's desperately needed here in our state. He also has a way for all of us to fight back against this woke culture that we're talking about. Former governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, joins me for the next two segments, next on the Dory Monson. Well, I have a couple of things that I want to talk to this guest about. Scott Walker, he was the two-term governor of Wisconsin. He's also with the Young America Foundation right now, which is so important for our kids, our college campuses. I want to talk about that in a moment, but something that's particularly relevant here in our state as we see our teachers refusing to go back to school. We're seeing the failure of online learning and our kids, both emotionally and educationally. Scott Walker had success with the teachers' union in Wisconsin, and Scott Walker joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. So, governors, first off, where do we go if we want to start fighting back against this culture in our schools?
And those tragic cases of child abuse are often found. They've lost out on that in a year. So there are just so many factors that say overwhelming the logic is on our side, science is on our side, the school's open. And I would say that it's the union bosses. I believe many teachers, I know a number of our friends who are teachers who want to be in the classroom, who are sick and tired of trying to teach kids, particularly young kids, online. It just doesn't work. And it's the union bosses. And in America, the people should be in charge, not the union bosses. But sadly, in too many of our states and too many of our jurisdictions, the union bosses are running the day.
Well, and I don't know if you heard the quote. It was a few months ago now, but the peak of the shutdown. But the head of the teachers' union here in Washington State, he defended not going back into the classroom with basically a communist statement. He said of our kids, if everyone is falling behind, then no one's behind. And I thought, what a shameful attitude for the head of the teachers' union to take, that they don't care the kids are falling behind as long as they're all going behind at the same pace. It was amazing to hear.
It's a horrible thing. It just goes to show you're not an essential worker if you can't show up when it's essential. And the irony of ironies, for all the talk about race these days, if you look at the data, it overwhelmingly shows the kids who are being hurt the most, they aren't all falling behind the same, even though that quote in itself is ridiculous. It's kind of like when Margaret Thatcher went after a Labor Party member of Parliament at the time who was attacking her, saying that there was a bigger gap between the rich and the poor. And she came back and said, well, you'll only be happy if the poor are poor as long as the gap is less between the rich and the poor. Instead, she wanted to make everyone richer along the way. But the worst part about the data shows is that black and Hispanic kids in particular are the ones most likely to be falling behind. The kids who are in working class families where mom and dad have to go to work in person or they don't get paid, versus white collar jobs where the parents can be at home on Zoom working while the kids are in the next room on another PC. The kids who are economically challenged, which are disproportionately children of color, they are the ones most hurt. And it's just so ironic at a time when the left invokes it for all sorts of other things. Race isn't a factor when it comes to the teachers union, because for them it's all about the power and the politics. It's not really about the people.
Well, so how do we break free? And I know this was your big battle as governor of Wisconsin. How do we break free when it's about power and control? Because here in our state, the teachers union seems to own Governor Jay Inslee. They seem to own our state legislature. So how do we, as families, as taxpayers, as a public, break free from their grip?
Well, long term, you're going to have to make the sort of changes we did. I mean, 21 years ago in the year 2000, Wisconsin and Washington were both considered to be battleground states. It's amazing how things have changed. So I would give you hope in that regard that Wisconsin was once a blue state, that we turned at least to be purple and could actually get people elected who were going to do things that were really more about the next generation than about the next election. But whether it's in Washington state or anywhere else across America, the other part of what I'm doing these days is really taking on colleges, schools, all the way from kindergarten through 12th grade, and the whole culture system we're at. The left is trying to cancel any sort of conservative, common sense thought out there, because they know in the end, with what we did in Wisconsin, it's still working today. What Ron DeSantis is doing, for example, in Florida, where schools are open, businesses are open, people are just as healthy as they are anywhere else across the country, that those conservative common sense reforms work. They want to cancel that because they don't want anybody, particularly not young people, to hear about that. And so our whole long game proposal, our long game action plan, is really about breaking down barriers, getting to more kids, getting to more students, getting on more campuses, and starting sooner, not just waiting till kids are in college, but literally getting in high school and junior high, and where needed, even giving support to parents of kids who are in elementary school, because the left is trying to indoctrinate them in the earliest of ages. We need to counter that.
Yeah, well, we're seeing that in our state. I mean, we have the most radical sex ed agenda in the nation for beginning in kindergarten. And you said they want to cancel any conservative thought, but I think the bigger problem here is what you just mentioned, and that is this indoctrination. And we have, I've had parents who are recording these Zoom remote learning sessions where the teachers are telling the kids that they have to, you know, kindergartners, they have to start every day with a chant that they're on stolen land. We have an anti-cop agenda in the schools like you can't believe. And then just this week here in Seattle, there are very dangerous homeless people who are camped out on public school property where kids are going back to the classroom, and the Seattle School Board has ordered the mayor and the city council to not do any homeless encampment sweeps because of their far left agenda. It really is not just amazing to watch, Governor, It is scary to watch all this.
Well, it is. And again, this didn't happen overnight. You know, the left has been at this for decades. Saul Alinsky started this in the 60s. It started on our college campuses, but we now see it seeping into every part of our culture. And I believe it's, you know, it goes all the way back to decades before that when Marxists tried to impose their view here in America, but it didn't work. Why? Because America is not a class-based society. You can be a child, the poorest of the poor, and grow up and with hard work and determination become just about anything you want to be, no matter what your background. And so they're coming at it again, but instead of economic class, trying to pit race and gender and sex as competing class. And so the left's pitting one group of Americans versus another, making one feel like they're less superior than the other, instead of just saying, you know what, we love America. This is an exceptional country because freedom and opportunity are available to every single person, whether you were born here or legally came here. Those opportunities are boundless. And it's not the government that gives them, it's God. Excuse me, it's God that gives them. The government just stands up and defends them through the through laying them out in the Constitution, defending those rights. And we need to reclaim that. We need to claim the glory of this great country, because too many people are teaching our kids to hate America. And that spells doom, not just for the land we love, but for future generations to be able to live in this great republic. We've got to stand up and fight for it right now.
I'm talking with Governor Scott Walker, two-term governor of Wisconsin. And when we continue in just a moment, I want to talk about what we not only can do about this, but what we must do about this to save our kids. We'll continue our conversation with Governor Scott Walker in just a moment as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. All right, I am back with Governor Scott Walker, two-term governor in Wisconsin. We're talking about what ails the public schools because, man, as governor, you did as much to fight that as anyone I know. But now you're with the Young America Foundation, and you say it's time to fight back for, you know, not only us taxpayers, but us parents, everybody who cares about the future of our kids and of this country. So tell me what you're doing about this.
Yeah, we have a new action plan called The Long Game. In fact, people want to get a free copy, we'll mail it to you today, yaf.org/longgame. We'll send you a copy. It really is an action plan, not only to be on college campuses. We want to grow to being on over 4,000 every college and university in America. We want to add 1 million more students to participate in our programs. We want to have even more speakers. We have some of the best speakers in the conservative movement, people like Ben Shapiro and Katie Pavlich and Michael Knowles and Alicia Krauss and so many others. We want to not only be there on campus with more speakers, we want to continue to grow on YouTube, which is the number one way young people get their information. We'd like to get to over 1 billion views and 5 million subscribers. But we also know we got to get into younger grades. So we want to not only go into high school, but into junior high. I remember when I was just 12 years old, Ronald Reagan was running for president, and what an impact he had on me, not just as a conservative, but as an optimist. We got to reach people that young people that age and younger. And then, because we see it sadly growing even in the elementary school ages, we're going to provide materials and support for parents to counter some of the nonsense that their kids are seeing in the classroom. And, oh, by the way, one of the elementary people who are feeling largely outcasts, just like students are as conservatives, are educators. There aren't many, but there are teachers and professors who are either conservative or at a minimum are just people who want to teach objective fact, and they feel overwhelmed. And so part of our long game plan is giving them a network of support to prop them up and let them know they're not alone.
Well, what's amazing to me is the names you mentioned. I've talked to all of those people on my show. When you and I were kids, Governor, the left and liberals, they used to be the bastion of free thinking, of challenging authority, of nonconformity. How did they do such a 180, especially on college campuses, where if you dare stray from the mandated thought, you will be shouted down. You will be, you know, you'll be denied a chance to even speak. That's the part that, you know, you talk about the Saul Alinsky success. when you see how we've done a 180 with young minds and college campuses, I think that's the evidence of what you talk about more than anything.
Absolutely. We see it over and over again where it's not just enough to be afraid of getting a bad grade. It's literally the pushback from fellow students, from embedded activists. And there aren't many, but there are a few. I mean, I give credit, I won't often say this, but to Bill Maher on HBO. He speaks out against this cancel culture, even though he's clearly a liberal. He understands just how, you know, how understanding history around the world, that when you live in a society where it's so free to just completely cancel out the ideas of a whole group of citizens, it's only a matter of time where if that's left unchecked, where you start to see the obsession or oppression, I should say, that you see in places like Venezuela and Cuba today, that is just not good, not just for the conservative movement. That's not good for America. And that, though, is that militant activism that Zelensky talked about and spelled out. And their endgame, we saw it even this week, you know, beyond just campuses. We saw it with the Major League All-Star Game. Yeah. You know, they were essentially lied to, and nobody bothered to check because they just bought into this indoctrination, never fully appreciating the simple truth that in Colorado they have voter identification. And, oh, by the way, the early voting is less than the new law in Georgia. That doesn't matter to them, though, because that's not what it was about. It was about beating up on Georgia because they've got a Republican governor. In Colorado they have a Democrat governor and a Democrat mayor in Denver, so it doesn't really count. We need to cut through the hypocrisy. We need to speak truth to power, in this case, to tell people what the facts are and then tell them why we're right. If we can level that playing field, that's why, thankfully, even at places like UC Berkeley, we're still able to win when going to court, which we've done recently, to make sure that our speakers and our students have the free speech rights that are guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, should be revered on our campuses, but sadly are the most under assault there these days.
So what's driving the people on the far left? I mean, we have an open Marxist on the Seattle City Council now, and she gets money. She's subject to a recall election right now, and she's getting more money from out of state for a little Seattle City Council district because she is the toehold. You know, Seattle and Portland are kind of the petri dishes. Is the motivation that they really believe in what they're shoveling out at us, or is it, because I contend a lot of these people on the left and part of the cancel culture, they just have a void in their souls, and instead of making themselves more marketable and more lovable and you know, just more, they just need to make other people less. And you know, it goes back to what you were talking about in the last segment, that you know, if just tearing down successful people is what evens the playing field, that's a pretty pathetic playing field.
Oh, it is. I mean, think about it. The minute someone disagrees on anything, what are the terms? Racist, sexist, transphobic, homophobic, Neanderthal. It's never about debating the ideas. It's never having any respect for your opposition. It's always assuming the absolute worst, or if not personally assuming it, implying the absolute worst to any others out there. That's why I think part of our message has got to be not to match insult with insult, but rather to stand up and defend the truth, to fight, yes, but not fighting for the sake of fighting for the sake of principle, which is the heart and soul of this great republic, defending things that are worth standing for, but then making the case that as conservatives, this is the thing that's so eye-opening and refreshing to young people when they hear it, which is simply put that we want freedom and opportunity for everyone. We understand the clumsy hand of government does not create freedom and prosperity. Instead, it is people being able to decide, you know, to determine their own destiny through the dignity that is born of hard work. Those are things that are inherently about living the American dream, standing up for everyone. They throw out these phrases because they want others to somehow believe that the worst about their opposition, instead of saying, looking at their ideas. And yep, that's really, yep, part of this whole mindset is just don't even let people even pause for a minute to listen. We've got to grab their attention and get the truth out.
Well, if you are a parent, if you're a college student, if you're an educator, get this material that Governor Walker and the Young American Foundation will send off to you. So, again, you go to yaf.org/longgame. And it's time for all of us to start fighting back. Governor Scott Walker, it's a pleasure talking with you. I really appreciate you having time for me this afternoon.
Great to be with you. Keep fighting for freedom.
Absolutely. All right. Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker joining us. Again, go to yaf.org/longgame, and they'll send that right out to you. And we have lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.